Hello, everyone. Welcome to the call today. Today's date is May 4th, one day shy of Cinco de Mayo, which is important because it's my anniversary and I need to remember to do something. So that's probably important. I need to put that on the top of my list. Welcome to the call. Welcome to the replay, however you are doing this. This is Kurt Mortensen. We're going to be going into persuasion and influence techniques. Sometimes we'll talk about self-mastery. Sometimes we'll talk about negotiation. The goal here is to solve any challenges that you're having. So those that are new, the way it works is we're going to spend 15 and 20 minutes talking about specific tools. We'll take your questions or things that you're running into, the replay line, and if you have any, want to submit a question or something you want to be trained on, that is at ywhypersuasion.com, and that will be all that information that you need to do that. If you need to contact us, if you want to recommend a topic, if there's challenges that you're running into, or just listen to the replay. It takes about 24 hours to get that replay up and running. So before we start, are there any questions, comments, rude remarks? Anybody? No rude remarks? All right. That's good. I'll take that as a good thing. All right. I'm going to take kind of a different spin today, and I'm going to talk about what we call dark tactics, or these are the psychological tricks people will play on you. Now, I'm not teaching you these so you can use them. Okay, that's not my intent here. But during a persuasion process, sometimes people will try to use these. They'll try to manipulate you. They may try to throw you off your game. We see this quite a bit in negotiation. Not all of them are that dark, but if you're not ready for them psychologically or mentally, it can really throw you off. So I'm going to throw some things at you that you'll see, guarantee you'll see them, whether it be in a negotiation, whether it be in a persuasion type situation, you will see these tactics. So let's go through them, we'll talk about them, and then we'll take your questions. All right. The first one we notice, and this is probably the lightest of the dark, it's really not that dark, they train a lot of people on these, is what we call the flinch. No matter how good your offer is or what you are trying to do for them or give them, a lot of people have been to training where they automatically, no matter what you say or do, they are going to flinch. They might fall off their seat, they'll be shocked at the price, they'll say, well, that's highway robbery. And the reason they do that is it sets up their ability to get more or get less, and they're trying to adjust your expectations. And we see this, especially in the Orient sometimes, where they're automatically going to flinch, but they're going to watch your facial expressions too. They'll say, or you'll say, how much for the glasses? And they'll say, $30. And if you don't flinch, they'll say, for the frames. And they'll say it's $20 for the lens. And if you don't flinch again, they'll say for each lens. And they adjust people that way. I'm not saying that it's right or you should do it, but people are taught to flinch. We see it whether you go to Mexico or the Caribbean, all those different things. We see those, and be aware for it. If they flinch, you can't let that get to you. So what can you do? When you see the flinch, a lot of things you can do here is you can ignore it. Just know they've been trained to do it. Even if they like the price, they're going to flinch. That's what they do. Keep your emotions in check. Don't get emotionally involved. Or you might just say simply, well, what did you expect to invest? Obviously, that's more than you think. What was your expectation? And if they give you a number, that'll help you out. But if they say, well, less than that, then you know it's just a knee-jerk reaction. There's really not a lot of validity to it. They're just doing it because they were told they were supposed to do it. This is the time where you ask questions to find out what are their expectations, to find out if there's any type of merit behind the flinch, but it'll happen. You're not that dark, but you need to be ready for it because too many people self-negotiate or self-persuade at this moment. Oh, okay, how about $10? What? Okay, how about $9? What? How about $8? And they keep going down. When a person was happy with $10, but you kept going down, and that was a big challenge. The next one is the heckler. Now, what is a heckler? A heckler, we see these in the boardroom. We see these when you're trying to do public speaking. We see these all the time when you're trying to get your point across. Now, a heckler could be something that somebody says, like, well, that was a stupid thing to say, or really, how old are you, or do you always have to get your way? Now, this goes back to our childhood. We teased to get a reaction. So a lot of times they're trying to see what you're made of, throw you off your game, get you angry, get you upset. They're trying to gain control, throw you off guard. Some people want to see how you handle criticism or personal attack. They're going to say some things that might be aggressive or condescending. We stay in control. This is what you can do. Maybe you want to agree with them. Yeah, that was a stupid thing to say, and move on. You stay in control. You measure your audience as far as, do other people feel that way? You ask questions in the situation. The main thing when people use these dark tactics, these psychological tricks, is it's not bothering you. Even if it does, it's not bothering you. You're not showing it. You're staying in control. You're smiling. Use a little humor if you need to. That's very old school, but it's worked for them in the past, so they keep using it. You know the saying that even a blind pig can find food, and there's truth to that, and this has worked every once in a while for them, and so they think it works every time. One that I know that you hear is what we call the higher authority, where they say something like, well, I have to talk to my boss. I'd like to, but I have to go talk to my spouse. If it were up to me, I'd do it, but I have a partner that's involved. This could be true, but a lot of people use this as a tactic to buy time. Maybe they're looking at other offers. Maybe they want to talk to other people. Maybe they're looking for some type of a concession from you. Higher authority. Now, this could be legit. It could be a knee-jerk reaction. It could be some dark technique just to keep you in the picture, even though they're not sure they're going to do business with you. What can we do? We need to find out if this is a true concern. So if they say, I need to talk to my boss, find out exactly maybe who their boss is, or you could ask them, who'll be involved in the final decision? Well, great, let's set up an appointment to talk to them together. The key thing here is nobody can persuade as well as you on your product or service. Don't let somebody else try to persuade somebody else who's going to persuade somebody else on your product or service, because it never works. So if you could be on the phone or they're at the meeting, it'd be very beneficial to you. But if they do need to talk to somebody and they won't let you in on the meeting, just agree on a deadline. Well, great, I'll give you till next Friday. The brain works on deadlines. Now, another interesting one, which is quite strange, but we have to talk about it. We think that we're all mature adults, but not true. We'll see shocking behavior. Temper tantrums, pouting, insults, sulking. Especially in a negotiation situation, we tend to see these where they might huff and puff or throw out personal threats. They'll storm out. Why does this happen? Sometimes they're just playing because it's worked in the past. Might be trying to force a concession that could be used as a distraction. They might be confused or upset. There's a Chinese proverb that says, the man that strikes first admits his ideas have given out. So sometimes when this happens, they don't know what to do next. This is their last tool in their persuasion toolbox, and that's what they do. They might be thinking that you're taking advantage of them. So if you see this shocking behavior that children do, but in an adult, and you will see this, what can you do? Sometimes it's just good to be silent, ignore it, and keep going. Maybe you want to use a little silence and say something, you know, that's interesting. I see your point of view. However, or you might want to say, do we need a break? I was monitoring a negotiation where two very wealthy adults, both passed, both well into their 50s, were negotiating. And it was getting a little hostile. The emotions were going back and forth. And the one, this is an adult, mind you, said, well, I make more money than you. Like, really? Is this elementary school? My dad can beat up your dad. But those emotions get in there. Sometimes these jabs go back and forth. Stay in control. Another one that could be dark is known as the nibble. So you're getting close. You're persuading them. Things are going good. And they'll say something like this. All right, done deal. Let's do it. But I need you to include, and you can fill in the blank. Great. All right, let's do it. But can you add this? It's a deal provided you do this, this, and this. See, this is dark in a lot of ways because they're getting you mentally, oh, it's done, we persuade them they're going to do it, then all of a sudden they ask for more. It might be in that initial meeting, it might be the next day, it might be the next hour. It It's a last minute thing used for concessions. They're trying to catch you off guard. They might try to make you feel stupid or cheap. Well, I mean, you won't throw that in. You won't do that. You won't do that for me. I do that for you. And they keep nibbling. So this is how you handle it. If they want something and it's not that big of a deal, maybe you can give it to them. Maybe you need to say, I don't have the authority to do that. Or my favorite thing to do is nibble back. Great. I can't include that, but you know what? We'll have to do it at 15 cents a unit instead of 10 cents a unit. Or if they're trying to make you feel cheap, come on, throw it in. Do it for me. So are you kidding me? You got a great deal. You got a great deal. If we do that, we'll have to go back and redo the whole process again. So be very careful of the nibble. Then we see, be careful of this one, it's called the pity play. Now, you're good people. You want to help out. You want to do the right thing, but this can be emotional blackmail. They're trying to gain sympathy. Some people use this in a bad way. Some people use it in a positive way. If you look at some of if you look at some of the telethons on TV, they use a pity a lot of times, or some of the infomercials where they're raising money for the children in South America. It's a very persuasive thing, so it can be used in a very negative way. So you're getting close and you're persuading them, and all of a sudden, you know, my wife's pregnant, and my car needs a new transmission, and my mother is bedridden, and they're trying to invoke sympathy. Or do you want to be known as the person that did this to me or took advantage of me or kicked me out of my house or whatever it is, they're trying to evoke pity. They're trying to get sympathy. They're trying to maybe threaten a bad publicity, bad PR. So what do you do? I mean, you want to care, but they're obviously using this in a very negative way. You would say, you could have a little sympathy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that's happening to you. That's a terrible thing. However, we need to look at the facts here. We need to look at the deal. You can have empathy. You can go to a higher power and say, you know, I can't make that decision. I have a partner in this situation that would work for you. But you still can have empathy, but you don't have to go in and bow down to their needs or what they want. They're trying to use this in a way to get their way, and they might even be lying about the situations that they were talking about. Sometimes you'll see intimidation. So you're going to a meeting. You're all ready to persuade. And you tell the receptionist, I'm here for my 10 o'clock meeting. And they'll say, sit down, relax. They're not quite ready for you. We will call you when you're ready. We will call you when they're ready. Now, this is a power play. It's used to intimidate because you feel kind of awkward. It's not your territory. It's always easier to persuade in your territory. Or even worse, sometimes they'll invite you into their office and say something like, hey, have a seat. I just have a few more phone calls to make. And you're sitting there and you're feeling kind of maybe stupid and they're making calls and you're just sitting there and they keep calling or keep talking like you don't exist. It's a power play. They don't have a lot of tools. They're trying to intimidate you. What do you do when that happens? You might just want to call them on it. So, you know, I'm very busy. We had a 9 o'clock. Do we need to reschedule? I have other appointments later today. Now, if it's something that you've been waiting a long time for and you need to get in, just mentally realize what's going on. Maybe use it to prepare, to go over your proposal, to go over your information. Sometimes you just have to endure it. You have to decide at that moment what you want to do, especially if it's been months in the making this appointment, you might just have to endure it and just not let it get to you. Sometimes you'll have some old school persuaders just get right in your face, the confrontation. Before you even start, before there's even any chit-chat, they're going to say something like, well, what's your final price? Give me your best deal. Let's not waste any time here. Let's cut right to the chase. You haven't even got their name or said hello or anything. They're just, bam, in your face. They're trying to get some power on their side. They're very aggressive. They want you to go first. They were told that the other person should always make the first offer. The other person should always go first, which is not necessarily true, but that's what they heard and that's what they're doing. So when that happens, what can you say? Well, give me your best price. There's power in questions here. You can say, well, what price are you looking for? Throw it back at them. Gain some control back. Give me your best price. What price are you looking for? Let's go. Let's happen right now. Let's get to this. Okay, great. I agree. Let's get this done quickly. Make me an offer. Or you could even say, hey, wait a minute. You skipped a turn. Yeah, you go, then I go. Especially if it's in a negotiation, you can go back and forth. Something to think about. Don't let it get to you. Another one that's very subtle but can really throw you for a loop is what's called thin slicing. What does that mean? I mean, throughout the whole process, the whole persuasion process, like getting a 0.5% here and getting another percent here and getting a little piece here and a little piece here, it's called thin slicing because if you thin slice a ham enough times, eventually you have the whole ham. Oh, you won't miss this. They're trying to wear you down. It's called the foot in the door technique, a little bit at a time. This is a subtle one that most people don't even know. They don't even know what's happening. So what can you do? You have to keep good records and put a value to each thing they ask for. So you would say something like, well, that's the seventh time you've asked me for something, and you add those all together, we're talking about an extra $1,000 in freebies. So that's why you're keeping good records, or maybe you want a thin slice back. Okay, well, I can give you that 4.5%, but you need to do this, this, and this. So you can thin slice back just like you could nibble back. But keep good records here. Another dark one, and I hate this one, but I need to, again, you're not going to use this, but you need to be aware of it. It's what we call the what if. So you're getting close, you're persuading, they're excited about it, you're going to do it, and your mind is thinking it's a done deal, and they say something like, great, what if I paid cash today? What if I tripled my order? What if we close on the house by the end of the month? What they're doing here is they're fishing and they're looking for quick concessions. The reason it's a dark tactic, is they're not willing to pay cash. They're not willing to triple their order. So if they say something like, what if we're willing to triple our order? You say, well, I can get it to you for $1.27 a unit. Well, we don't want to triple our order, but that's the price we want. It kind of backs you into a corner. I've seen it time and time again. I get to monitor these to see what's going on. So if that happens to you, ask them, well, is that a hypothetical question? Are you willing to pay cash today? Are you willing or are you going to pay, what is it? Are you going to triple your order? Are you willing to triple your order? What if I did lower the price? Are you going to purchase today? So you can ask a question back, gain the power back with questions. Another one is called the expectation push. What that is they're trying to adjust your expectations. They're trying to create a perception of winning. So they'll say something like, well, I always get 15% below retail. It is normal for me to get a 25% discount. The last person gave me that. You know, he won't budge. We're going to do this, changing that expectation. So if someone's trying to change your expectations, just keep watching and listening, revise their expectations, and ask them, well, you always get 25%. Well, who is that? Where did you get that? Can I have their name? Call them on a cell phone right there if you need to. And that way, you'll be able to maintain the expectation. One more, another dark one, is known as split the difference. Now, we've heard this before. A lot of people use this in negotiation. Let's meet in the middle. Let's split the difference. And that can work, although here's the dark side of it. So they say something like this. Well, I'm at $1,000. And they're at $2,000. So it's like, so they'll say something like this. Well, you want $1,000, and I want $2,000. So let's meet in the middle for $1,500. And you say, okay, do it, $1,500. Then they'll say something like this. Well, since you're willing to go at $1,500 and I'm at $2,000, again, let's split the difference at $1,750. So it's kind of a double split the difference. It's a standard concession, kind of a bait and switch. And you're like, well, wait a minute. No. We were at $1,500. So, like, yeah, you said $1,500. You're going to play stupid. Like, they don't get what you're saying, but they did a double split the difference on you. When that happens, you probably want to walk, if you can. These are the type of people you probably don't want to do business with. You can say, look, no, that's the oldest trick in the book. We're not doing it that way. Let me explain split the difference to you. You're at $1,000. You were at $2,000, I'm at $1,000, that's $1,500, that's where I'm willing to be, and hold your ground. These are dark, and some are darker than others. You're not here to use them. They're there to understand, because if you're not mentally ready for these, it tends to happen quite a bit. And it usually tends to happen when you're trying to sell a salesperson, trying to persuade someone that does persuasion for a living, or trying to negotiate with a negotiation expert. A lot of times they will try these. So this is what I want you to do. The main thing here is learn to identify these techniques. You'll see them in conversations throughout the day. And put yourself in situations where people might get a little tense, or they are negotiating, or they're persuading. Watch two people that are trying to persuade each other. The key thing here is you need to practice to stay in control. It's not getting to you. You're not going to get angry. You're keeping your emotions in control. And learn to read their body language. Because a lot of times you can tell a lot from their body language. If they tense up, you know that that could be a sign of deception. If their demeanor changes or body language changes, it means they're tending to get a little more nervous. You are a student of human behavior. And if you can read people and understand people and why people do these things, then you can become very persuasive. And I think most people do it because they're either out of tools, they don't know what else to do, or sometimes they use it because they like the power play. Learn these tactics. Don't use them. Learn them. Understand what to do when you see them. It'll make a big difference in what you can do when you persuade and the final offer that you get. Any questions?
Yes, I have one.
Okay.
Do people use these on purpose, or most times do they just do it unconsciously? You know, I mean, like they don't really know that they're doing it, but it just comes natural or something to them?
Yeah, the answer to that is both. To your hardcore negotiators, for example, they're planning it out. They've done it before. They know it makes people nervous and tense. To someone that's more of a rookie, I mentioned that Chinese proverb that the first man to strike admits his ideas have given out. They just feel back in a corner. They don't know what to do next. And it's kind of like their default child setting. Throw a fit, do something stupid, lie, because they don't know what else to do. They're feeling back in a corner. Their emotions are kicking in. So I think it depends on the situation. If it's a seasoned persuader, negotiator, they're planning it. But if you were talking, say, for example, maybe a homeowner, something like that, I think it's just they don't know what to do. They're feeling backed into a corner. They're feeling tense and uneasy.
Okay, so if they're doing it and they don't realize it, you basically need to try to help them by using staying in control and asking questions. And in other words, you're trying to change the situation around so that they don't feel like they're backed in a corner, correct?
Absolutely. So what happens when our emotions kick in and we feel anger, blood leaves our brain. You've seen this enough times. And it goes to our extremities. It's the fight or flight response. Your body just naturally does it. Mm-hmm. So in that situation, if it's way out, I mean, really getting emotional, or they're starting to yell, maybe it's time for a lunch break or to take a walk. Maybe it's time to pretend you have a cell phone call. Give them a little time.
Right.
That do that. But if they're still pretty much in control, questions do get them to calm down a little bit, get them to think a little more rationally and logically.
Right. You
wouldn't want to ask a highly emotional question. But you can ask a question, get them to start thinking. Open-ended question definitely works. And only one person's allowed to be angry at a time. That's why I say just check your emotions at the door. And that's so hard for so many people, but it's so true. Because when your emotions get involved in a negotiation, especially, it really affects the outcome.
Yeah, and being able to check your ego or emotions at the door is very powerful too.
It is, and even if it does, like the heckler party, they're trying to tease you, they're trying to get a reaction. Even though it's upsetting and maybe even hurt your feelings a little bit, you deal with it. You know, as a public speaker, I get heckled all the time. There's always the person in the audience trying to make you look dumb. There's always the person that's going to be negative. And, you know, it's hard not to take that personally, because if you're speaking in front of a group, you're putting your heart and soul on the line, but you have to be aware. You know, there's just some people are that way. You could do And when I train people to do presentations, I tell them, you can give a perfect presentation, and there's going to be somebody that says something negative. That's just
right.
how people are. And you
right.
can't let that get to you. Even though it hurts your feelings, we like to be liked, we want positive. It's how people are. People will scratch your car because it's nicer than theirs. They won't like you because you have more money than them. In high school, somebody told me, look, I don't like you. I'm like, really? She says, yeah, you smile too much. I'm like, okay. And it still kind of hurt my mind. I'm like, really? Maybe I, and you think about it too much. Yeah, of course, high school, that's when emotions are at a weird stage anyway.
Right.
So that's how people are, and you just need to learn how to address that.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thanks.
You bet. Any other questions about today or things you're running into? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're easy on me. Again, these are not to use. I'd prepare questions. That's gold. They say, give me your best, what's your final price? You say, well, make me an offer. Or what price were you looking for? That's gold. Give me a price. Because if we're not ready for that, and you throw out the price. Say, well, okay, let's cut to the chase. Make me an offer. Or what price were you looking for? You're in control. You're doing it. You're not getting upset. Because a lot of people will try to get you upset because that's, again, one of the only tools they have.
Right.
The only tools they have. And just kind of being aware of it. You'll see these a lot more as you get out there and start talking to people. The waiting. And it's such an old school thing, but waiting in somebody's lobby happens all the time. Or they'll, for example, negotiation, it's amazing how they'll be the ones that make you sit in the sun. They'll turn up the heat. They'll ask you when your plane flight's leaving, and they won't really get started until an hour before you have to be at the airport. Or another one, they'll actually saw the chair you're sitting in, they'll saw the legs off so it's just a little bit shorter, like a half inch shorter. So consciously, you don't notice it, but subconsciously you feel a little intimidated, a little weaker. It's like, I just call people. I'm like, if you're sitting in the sun, move your chair. If you're sitting in the small chair, you say, is there any reason why I'm sitting in the small chair? Or if they try good cop, bad cop, he says, you guys use a good cop, bad cop? And they'll say, oh, no, we're not. And you're just in control. You just call them on it. You're moving on. It's not bothering you, and it'll really help you out. Really help you out. All right. So the replay we posted on whypersuasion.com. We'll get that posted in the next 24 hours. Questions will be handled there. And wishing everyone massive success. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Kurt. Happy anniversary.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate that. We'll see ya.
Thank you. Goodbye.
You bet.